This show is sponsored by Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. That's HuluPlus.com/Joey. And now, by DollarShaveClub.com. Get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church. That's DollarShaveClub.com/church. Or just go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
Oh, shit. Oh, shit. Here we go. Another fun-filled fucking Wednesday. Oh, shit. Lee Syatt in the house, the motherfucking Flying Jew. Just when you thought it was safe to let your kids out of the house, Amber Alerts up your ass like a motherfucker. Oh shit, kick that up, Lee. Show these motherfuckers what's cracking. We ain't even smoking weed today. We're up to a different level. Hit this, Lee.
Beat down, brother, check it out. I'm about to throw down.
This is too much. You know what? Just break out the heroin. Why even? Forget the fucking ice cubes. Get the vodka. Let's do this shit. It's Wednesday, you bad motherfucker. Lee Syatt, what's happening, baby boy?
This is what happens when you get me high before the podcast.
That's what's supposed to happen.
I just imagined, what if there was Amber Alerts when Ken Vella was around and they sounded an Amber Alert for Ken Vella?
Ken Vella, guy kidnapped? Yeah. Fuck, what are you gonna do? Ain't nobody gonna send no Amber Alert for that cocksucker, trust me. When we called his mother and asked her for ransom, his mother's like, take $100, take it or leave it. Fuck that no good. Welcome. It's Wednesday, August 8th. What is it? The 8th? The 6th? 7th? 7th.
7th, you're
right. A beautiful motherfucking day to be alive. What? What? By the time this gets, it'll be Thursday. But even Thursday morning, you're going to be getting this. You're going to wake up. You're going to wash your pussy. You're going to put some powder on your nuts. Whatever. And you're going to go out there like a soldier because you own it. You own that fucking street. You understand me? Who gives a fuck? Let's crack it, dog.
Not much, man. I'm fucking high.
But that's the goal of the fucking day, is to get up, a few jumping jacks, maybe a little Cuban food, something, and then you make it fucking high. That's it. As long as you make it happen. I believe in this. If you're gonna just get high and smoke dope and sit there like a fucking bump on a log, then hopefully a bolt of lightning will hit you, or one of these fucking sharks will bite you in the fucking neck, and it's over. But if you get up, get high, and plan the route. You following me? Weed is like the GPS.
I don't know how you plan a route.
That's how you fucking do it. You smoke it. You get the GPS going. The GPS will tell you, get up, take a shower, shave, brush your teeth, orange juice, protein, wash your clothes, make your bed, you know, pick up the trash, take it out. Whatever. I'll fucking tell you. Write your goals. Get out there. Stab a motherfucker. You'll hear the voices. That's what the weed does. It's the GPS. You following, Santee?
Sure.
Whatever. Look at you. You're thinking about not going to work. It's true. A lot of people say that marijuana, to us, to motherfuckers that get up in the morning and just trying to flip a dollar, medical marijuana or just straight marijuana is like steroids to Ken Griffey. Sure, he went fucking bananas, started hitting fucking home runs.
Yeah.
Sure, because it helps you out. It calms. What do you want me to do? Society wants me to go to a doctor and pay that guy, you know, whatever, $105 for the visit. Then he's going to bang me for another $200 for the blood screen and the whole fucking deal. And then they're going to figure out that the reason, I have an imbalance, maybe I got low testosterone, but I'm going to need Adderall and I'm going to need some antidepressant to get my fucking day going. And now every fucking 8 weeks, I got to go to CVS or it gets mailed to me and I got to go see this guy and I need the dosage. And you know what? All that shit could be cured with a take of a fucking bong.
A tootsie-doots?
A little tootsie-doots early in the morning. You ever take a bong and it just knocks you off of your fucking feet at 7 in the morning? And you're like, what the fuck am I going to do the rest of the day? You manage. That was it. I took into murky waters and you got out of it. That's all marijuana is. And eventually, you start balancing out. Society doesn't want to legalize. And I'm not a conspiracy theorist. You'll never hear me talking about legalization because I'm going to smoke it either way. You want to throw me in jail for smoking a fucking joint? Throw me to fucking jail. That's all we got left. If that's what you're going to do at 50 years old, is throw some fat fuck that goes on stage and tell dirty jokes in jail for smoking pot in a personal, in the privacy of his own crib, then go fuck yourself. What the fuck did Abe Lincoln fly that fucking kite for? What the fuck? What the fuck did we do all that shit for if you're going to throw me in jail? This is what I'm talking about. You're never going to see me with this shirt legalized, or you're going to see me marching with a bunch of fucking dudes with hot pants on. I ain't got time for that shit. I'm at home smoking dope. The fuck do you think you're dealing with here?
Thank God you're starting that history class in a week.
Because it's true. It's fucking true. What do you think you're for? Now, every day, I got to read another. What the hell? How hard is this? To get up in the morning, listen, you're a little retarded. Don't take to know. If I go to a doctor and I go, Doc, listen, I'm having some fucked up feelings. I don't feel good. You know, my friend said maybe I should smoke some marijuana. He'll look at me and go, you know what? You look a little fucking under the weather, a little retarded. Look at you. Your eye is closed and you're a little fucked up, aren't you? Take a hit and see where it takes you. It's going to do a lot better for you than some fucking antidepressant. And I'm here. I did it already. I went through the antidepressants. I went through the fucking anxiety pills. I went through it all. And at the end, what happened was I eliminated the cocaine, which don't help nobody. That don't help nobody. That just adds fuel to your depression. And I fucking focused on the marijuana and the jumping jacks and the acupuncture. And boom, here we are. Still, I get creeped out from time to time. I get creeped out. I got anxiety when I got to get a fucking needle. So how many times am I going to hit this fucking... It's like one of those... You know what this reminds me of? The cookie the priest lifts up at church to show you. Remember that? It's a big fucking cookie. The one he gives you is a small cookie. But the one he does the magic trick with, it's a big fucking cookie. And he breaks it and he eats part of it. And
you're talking about the sound cover for the wind cover for all the people listening.
Hey, listen. What the fuck? Why are we... today we're going a la carte because I forgot my notebook. So if you were waiting for a shout-out, go fuck yourself. It ain't happening today.
I'll do some shout-outs today.
Don't get nobody fucking started, all right? No fucking shout-outs. We got people in studio. We got... this is one of the weirdest stories. I'm at Flappers one night going crazy up there. And I talk about Jersey. And, you know, I'm from North Bergen. But the truth of the matter is... I have ties into West New York because my stepfather had a butcher shop there, and my mother had ties to Union City and Hoboken because I grew up with the Benders. So Hudson County is my fucking patois. Don't ever Bayonne because of white man of burgers. That's right, bitches. I said it. White man of fucking burgers in Bayonne. Remember that shit off the 19 and shit? Fuck White Castle. We're going to White Manor, bitch.
By the ringside.
By the foot, tremendous. By the ringside, look, motherfuckers dropping on. I'm up there, and I just want to introduce these guys. Give them your names, brother. What do you want to call yourselves?
My name is Peter. I'm Dave.
All right, and they're the fucking owners of a beautiful company, Los Gumis Hermanos. Let me tell you what happened. I've been running with these guys. They're close to family because I'm tremendous friends with a cousin of theirs that helped me at first. He talked me into going to Colorado. So if it wasn't for their cousin, I would have still been, I would have been dead because he said to me, go to Colorado, you'll shovel snow. Worst case scenario, you'll shovel snow. That's right. He goes, it's a lot better than living in New Jersey. At least you'll shovel snow and ski for $12 a fucking hour. And then time later, he had some bad luck and whatever. We're here, but we connected on stage. So how long have you owned this fucking company, Los Gumis? I mean, since I met you, you guys are professional. Fucking stoners. Let's get to that. When we were kids, remember your aunt would say, no, hablé con el chamaquito. I said, marihuanero. We became marihuaneros. That's what we are. I'm a marihuanero. I'm not a fucking drogadita. I don't like patillita. I'm a fucking marihuanero. For people sitting there going, what the fuck is he saying?
Yeah, my aunt never said that.
No, your aunt said he's a fucking waste of life.
Same goes for me. I
love it.
All I do is
I love it. I love it. This is what I get up and think about. Yeah. Some people drink and watch football. I smoke dope, and you guys are in the same boat.
We sprinkle in a couple of psychedelics here and there, too.
Okay, but no alcohol. You guys never get a beer and go to a football game. Fuck that.
I can't. Like, me personally, I get gout, and so does my brother. So, like, drinking is out of the question for me.
So you smoke that motherfucker up? You smoke the gout out?
Pretty much.
Fuck it. You see what I'm saying, Lisa? And you sit here every morning crying. You better eat one of fucking edibles today.
Now, I'm already so fucking high.
You've met them before. You've
they came to San Jose.
That night in San Jose, we ate one of their... How many of their gummies did you eat the first night?
The first night, they come in like thirds, right? They like kind of split up into thirds.
Yes.
I had one third, and I had already had another edible and some more smoking, so I was pretty fucked up. Then the second night, because people have to understand this. People hear me on the podcast, I don't want to take another hit. Or I don't want to have another edible. Before and after everything Joey does with me, I'm taking two or three hits. I'm having a piece. So the second night in San Jose, Joey, you gave me like a little third outside. No. First, you gave it to me on stage when I introduced you. You gave me a little piece. You said, eat it. I ate it. When we got outside, like after the first show, you're like, here's another fucking piece. I was like, I already had a piece, which is more than enough. One third of 250 milligrams is more than enough. You're like, it's not fucking enough. The people in San Jose, they're going to eat you alive, or whatever you said. So you gave me two thirds, like another third of it. So the second night I had two thirds, and that's all I had beside a little weed. And I couldn't move.
Tell him why he didn't move. Explain to him what's the difference between your gummy bears and what other people have. We both agree. Chibo Chews are great. Anthony Dolores has a great product. The Chibo Chews, everything is fucking to the T.
We like variety.
Yeah, we like, everybody does. I mean, yeah.
And Dolores.
Anthony Dolores, but it's amazing. That night in San Jose, I saw what these did to myself, Lee, and Eddie Bravo. And it's a complete different patois. Is it because you use hash?
It's basically it's hash oil that we're using. So something that we could sell for like the highest price of hash oil, we're throwing in our gummies, and we're not really making that much on it either. Like it's just like just enough to cover the expenses of the ingredients to make it.
Yeah, they're fucking strong,
dude. Guys, they came to my house in the middle of the day on a Wednesday. And they're carrying like an electrician's box, like one of those fisherman tackle boxes, full of like Joey was like had a e-cigarette, and they're like, "Is that e-cigarette?" And he's like, "Yeah." Well, do you have a medical marijuana one? Joey's like, "I do at home." They're like, "Wait, well, I got something for you." They pulled out like an 18-piece one, like it was a.
These guys ain't fucking around.
What is it called? It's a beta testing one. It wasn't not even out on the market yet.
It's a half hash oil one, half tobacco oil one.
But you just walk around with all this stuff.
Yeah, I mean,
they're ready for war. If there's an earthquake, these guys are ready. They got 12, 15 days of surplus on them at all fucking times. They're the ones that told me you could put the weed on the belt on Burbank, correct? If you're flying to another place in California.
I don't know about Burbank. I don't know. Oakland and San Francisco came out, and they were like, if you're a patient, my name is Paul. It's between y'all. Like, you go where you want to go. Yeah. Like, they came out publicly and said it, so.
You put the weed on the conveyor belt.
Well, you know, yeah, with a note. Yeah, I'm a patient. If I'm a patient here, I'm a patient anywhere. You know, my back's gonna hurt here. Like my back pain doesn't go away in Jersey when I fly out there. So I bring some gummies with me so that the back pain goes away.
Or, you guys are some heavy duty anxiety. I love it. No, I love it because people get confused ever since the medical marijuana craze out here. A lot of people just jumped on the bandwagon, and the rest of the country was like, "Wow, look at those dudes!" And there's a bunch of fucking amateurs. Then there's fucking savages like these guys. That some people don't leave home without their American Express. They ripped up their American Express card. They told American Express to suck their dick. Don't leave home without us and shit. You know what I'm saying? Don't leave home without us. Who the fuck can say that? People fucking Led Zeppelin can say shit like that. Bruce Lee, don't leave home without us. But who could fucking American Express? Fuck you and your card. I gotta pay it a month later. You gotta give me 90, 80 days to get my shit together. And I'll write you a check. I used to have an American Express, and I knew I was gonna sink those motherfuckers too.
Why?
Because it was too much drama. You got to pay them every fucking the end of the month.
Don't you pay every credit card at the end of the month?
No, you could pay them. Like, let's say you charge Discover $300. You could give them a yardstick to keep you alive.
Oh, you have to pay everything.
Yeah. So if you bang out American Express and you owe them $3,900, you better pay $3,900, or they cut that motherfucker off. And let me tell you something. It's embarrassing being poor. It's embarrassing getting denied. You ever get denied an American Express card?
It's tough. The worst.
Because everybody thinks you're Joey Bananas. You ready to buy drinks for everybody? Give them a cocktail. Give them all a drink. You like De Niro. Give the fucking bum three blocks away. Get a fucking Puerto Rican on a bicycle to bring him a fucking drink. And then they say, it's not good. That's fucking bad. But I learned how to. That was one of the cards I killed when I got divorced. I held on to that card forever. And I paid them.
Yeah.
I kept paying them, and then I figured out how to get cash advances. You got to go to Vegas. In Vegas, though, every code they break. Not anymore.
I think you're breaking my Jewish heart. You can't get cash advances.
Not anymore. Not now. But 15, 20 years ago on American Express, listen, if you had a limit on it, the people in Vegas would get it. I know the reason why half of those pit dealers, what do you call them, pit bulls?
Pit bosses.
Pit bosses. You know what their thing is? What kind of card you got? Because they'll come right up to you. Listen, can you get me a line of credit? What kind of card you got? I got American Bank, but they don't have somebody there. Give me the fucking phone. American Bank in Connecticut. And you're like, yeah. They said, let me call Diane. Diane, I got Lee Syed. Yeah, Lee. He's a nice kid. What's his account? His limit's $750. This is Paul from the fucking Mirage. When was the last time you came out to Vegas, Marie? It's been years. My husband doesn't even fuck me in the ass anymore. Okay, what we're going to do is I'm going to give you a whole fucking week out here for free. You're going to get back rubs. You're going to go see Wayne Newton. You're going to take pictures of Wayne Newton. Do me a favor. What's Lee got on his credit card? He's at his limit. But, you know, give him $1,000. That's, I seen it done. Because they already have the relationship with somebody in that office. They go right through it. By 4 a.m, that's what they fucking pay you for. Now you can't work that deal no more. Now everybody's got the fucking stick up their ass. In the old days, a cop pulled you over. If you called back in to your thing and said, I got Lee Syed here. Let's say Lee Syed got a warrant. The people would call you back and go, Lee Syed has a warrant for not going to court for misdemeanor, smack to the fucking mouth, blah, blah, blah. If I pull Lee over and I'm cool, like in Jersey, let's say they pull you over in West New York, but you got a warrant in Whippany, New Jersey. That's fucking 8 hours away, okay? It's 2 a.m. You think that cop's gonna take you back and do paperwork because you bitch smacked some fucking girl in college? He don't give a fuck. He's gonna say you're straight. I'm sorry, I made a mistake. They'll set you going. Now, as soon as they type your name into that computer, it goes. So that person where you got a warrant at got alerts. That's it. They get fucking alerted, and that's it. It's done. Within 10 seconds, the county, boom, you got fucking Lee Syed. Get him. We're looking for him. He fucking fell out of a tree with a box of fucking Oreos and a bag of M&M's chasing little boys. Whatever the fuck. You know what I'm saying? I'm just saying.
Be on the internet forever, man.
All right. Then what are you going to do? You know, you're a nice kid. But but that's what I'm talking about. That's really weird how different life, how much it's changed. Like, you could get away with different shit, credit cards. You know, once you went to college, as soon as you went to college, and this is how it worked. This is just so you know I'm not fucking crazy, people, and we're all in that category. We all went to college. You were a fucking mutt till you went to college. If you were lucky, your dad maybe. Your mom co-signed for you to have a credit card with a $250 limit. Maybe, if you were lucky. If you had any more than that, God bless you. I'm not putting you down. I'm just saying that most American kids go off to college with that first $250 from their parents. But as soon as you sign into fucking college and you either apply for a Pell or apply for a fucking 2625 loan, that's a standard loan, right, Lisa?
I don't know the numbers, sir.
$2,625 is the first, I forget what it's called. As soon as that paperwork goes through, within 10 days, if you're a normal American kid, even if you beat Columbia House, because all of us beat Columbia House, even if you beat Columbia House, you will get 3 or 4 credit card applications with guaranteed cards, already approved credits. And it's a lot more than the $250 your fucking parent gave you. So what do you motherfuckers do? We'll keep the $250 our parent gave them. We won't abuse that. We'll show them that we're behaving, but we'll get these 4 nickels. We're going to get these 4 nickels. This is my fucking margarita money. This is my pussy money and shit. And we all beat one of them. And there you fall into the system as an American. Now you've got bad credit. Because we don't know at fucking 18. We thought, fuck it. We're not going to send the payment at 18 unless you're borrowing from Peter to pay Paul. You're not really going to pay that credit card. They throw you into the system. They know if they send 10 of you credit cards, 5 of you motherfuckers are going to pay it. 5 years are going to go on, then they're going to juice you, which is exactly what they want. So what do you owe me? $100. You know what? You're a college student. Send me $5 a fucking month. You're sitting there going, ha ha ha, $5 a month. I got a deal. Fuck them hoes. You're going to be sending them $5 a month for 10 fucking years. Because they're just juicing you. That's exactly what the fuck they want.
It's legal loan sharking.
It's corporate loan sharking. Now it's even worse. That's when I went. I'm a fucking old faggot. I'm like Liberace and shit. You know what I'm saying? I'm talking about now it's got to be done a complete different system. Lee was telling me something very interesting that you're in it for fucking a loan shark of colleges.
Fuck it, yeah, I have over probably $60,000 in college loans that I have to pay back, and I'm basically doing what you just said. I pay, I think it's $270 a month.
Which is ugats.
Which is nothing.
Nothing.
Most of it's interest.
It's in the interest.
So like
these
like,
poor fucking kids. And then he told me that, this motherfucker told me that when you go for an interview, they don't even talk to you about college.
No.
But they don't even say to you, so, oh, this kid went to the real deal. Do you want, no, they didn't even mention fucking, are you fucking, I would be insulted, like, whoa, what college did you go to, bitch? I don't see no diplomas on your fucking wall. know what I'm saying? When you go to a doctor, you see those diplomas. That's what knocks you off your feet, right? They put you in there. The doctor don't come right in there. He puts you in there to sit down to look at the pictures of the giraffe and shit. But after you look at the giraffe and the house that's on fire, boom, there's three fucking diplomas. Right? Am I lying to you? Yeah, and he's got copies in every fucking room. That's a bitch.
Fuck. No, it's crazy. Like, luckily, my parents, my dad, when I think I turned 16, he came down with a credit card, and it was, I think it was linked to him because they wouldn't just give it to me. But he said, if you don't pay this, I'm cutting it off. So I've had one since I was 16, and I've actually got, I don't have like any credit card debt. But I know so many kids who got that because like they send it to your school mailbox, and a lot of kids don't have jobs. And like I wouldn't have an apartment because every time I go get an apartment, they always like, oh, you actually have good credit. Because people my age can't get anything, and you can't get a job without good credit. You can't get an apartment. Can't get a car. It fucks you up. You just got good credit, didn't you, Joey? Like a couple years ago, like you and your wife.
I had tremendous fucking credit all the way, and you're talking to somebody who was a stone cold criminal. But I always carried a credit card that no matter high wind or high water, I paid that motherfucker off, and I had that one since '85. I had that fucking card. That means I had that card. Yeah, 23, 20, something like that. I had never gotten a card before. One day I went to a Chinese restaurant with a stolen credit card, and I applied for this card, and they sent me a card for like maybe $250 that I paid on time. I had that card till about 8 years ago. Mm-hmm. I couldn't hold it no more. It was like $79 a year for the fee. That card saved me on the road. When I would go on the road and get a flat and all that shit when I first started comedy. Then, same thing happened, guys. I went to Colorado Mountain College. Nobody gave a fuck. I paid out of my pocket. It was 9 credits, whatever, $800 I paid. Once I went to CU Boulder, I had a transfer, and I applied for that first 26, 25, guys. They sent me everything. And here I was. I mean, it was fucking amazing. And I had those cards when I went to prison. And I had those clean. They were clean when I went to prison. They were clean. I didn't believe in using credit cards at that time. And then when I got out of prison, I started using that 250 one, and I started using it at a Harvest restaurant and okay. somewhere else. Then when I got divorced, guys, that's when I learned about credit cards and how to shuffle them and how to draw money out of them at an ATM card and the PIN. Discover used to send you checks.
Yeah, they still send those.
You could be over the drawn. I remember one night I went to pick up this girl. I had no fucking dough. And I had one of those checks, and I went to a bank. I said, let me just try. No money, nothing. I went in there, $1,000. If you're going to go for broke, you got to go for broke. I wrote one for $1,000, gave it to the chick at like 11:30 at night. She gave me $100. I said, oh, my God. That Monday morning, though, the first call I got was from Discover. You're over your limit. You better go give that money back. I said, you better go fuck yourself. That money's gone. I already snorted that nigga. That thing is done. The Colombian got that motherfucker right now. You're fucking crazy. That's crazy. And then I had one more and I did it again. Oof. And this time I banged them out for like $2,500 and they fucking had me on the phone that night. Like, let me tell you how cold-blooded those credit cards were. They found out my comedy schedule.
No, they didn't.
Yes, they fucking did.
Before you had a website, too.
Before websites. And they would call the club. So I get to the club, and they go, some guy called here for you. He says, some comedy promoter. I thought it was HBO. Oh, fuck. Oh, fuck. Beep, 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 beep. And they, yeah, this is Marty. Hey, Joey, how you doing? Yeah, great. Marty, this is Metro from Visa, and your heart's broken. I remember one night I was trying to fuck a bartender, and the phone rang at the bar. And she's like, who? Who? And I'm like thinking I'm a pimp. And she's like, it's for you. It's Visa. That girl looked at me. I looked at her like, what the fuck? They knew. This was at the Broker Inn in Boulder, Colorado. I'll never forget that. I used to do Tuesday nights. And one night I'm at the bar doing blow at Valiums and shit. And like the phone for you. I'm like, this is one of them. This is HBO. Hold on one second. How you doing? This is Marty from Visa. Are you having a good time? Do you have blow in your pocket? Fucking crazy. You ever get a call from one of those motherfuckers? They're relentless. The first time they call you, they fuck you up, too. Because you're fucked up. So you don't know what they're talking about.
Always.
No, you don't know what the fuck. What do you mean I didn't pay? Fuck you. I paid. No, you didn't.
Know what the worst thing is? And it pisses me off. Is like, if you miss your payment by one day. And it's never on the first. It's always like due on like the 7th. So like, I missed my payment last month. Capital One charged me $25 just for one day late. And like, even if you go to pay it online, sometimes, like, if it's after 3 p.m., that means it's 6 p.m. Mountain Time, and that's when they close. So, that's how they get me all the time, because I usually pay, but sometimes I'm late, $25.
Let me tell you something. You guys have no idea. When I first got on with Sprint, I went to Beverly Hills. I was just walking one day, and there was a kid out there. This is 10, 12 years ago. This is why I love Armenians, by the way. This is why I love Armenians. And again, if you got it, you got it. If you don't, you don't. Just the way life is. I walk into a Sprint with Terry Clark, 2002, and we apply, and they're giggling, and they come back, they're like, hey, you're in no danger. There's no way you'll ever get a phone from Sprint. I said, okay. And I kept my beeper. I did Spider-Man too, and they kept me on the set for like 9,000 days, so I had a little cash. So my buddy took me to his Sprint, and we were talking. He was like, listen, I can do anything you want to do. Just let me know what the fuck you want to do. I'm like, dog, I just need a phone. And at that time, that's when it was like 600 minutes for $49.99, that type of shit. What I wanted was unlimited. It was $199. And they said, oh, $199 back then, or $149 or something fucking crazy. Something ridiculous, guys. And the guy came back to the Armenian. He's like, I got you $200, but always pay that bill on time. Because they do something weird at Sprint by the day. And there's been days where I would wake up in the morning and my phone would be shut off. And I call Sprint and go, what's going on? I paid the bill. And they're like, you did, but it came on the cusp. So if my bill would be $201, they would cut it off, dog. There was a time I owed them 30 cents at Sprint to cut my fucking bill. Sprint, don't fuck around. This is 10 years ago, before 9/11. I don't even imagine what the fuck they're doing now.
They cut it off for 30
cents. I've
been
with Sprint since day one. I've been with the same service since day one. I love them. I would never change at this point. What the fuck? Now I go in there to give me upgrades. I've been there for 8 or 9 fucking years. They love me.
Yeah, they're good for that. They're good for accessories.
Yeah, I'm a Sprint OG now. They send me Christmas cards. They sent me a fucking violin. What up, Lisa? Yeah, look at you, fuck. You cocksucker.
So, guys, explain to me what I just smoked, because I had like 2 smallish hits. And
you're going to do another one. Prep another one.
I'm on
me
outer
too.
Space.
You can't walk on one fucking leg. You know what I'm
saying?
That's
what you said after the first one. That's oh, we got to call.
Oh, shit. Good afternoon, doctor.
Yes, hello. How are you?
How are you, doctor?
I am fine. Technically, I'm not a doctor. So okay. I just want to clarify that I'm all about accuracy.
What are you?
So not a bit. No, go ahead. What were you going to say?
What are you technically? Break it down for me.
Technically, I'm a clinical hypnotherapist. I also have advanced. I've got my master's in spiritual psychology, and I have a lot of training toward my PhD. But actually, I've decided to go into the direction of more shamanic studies and energy healing versus a clinical psychologist, which once I was on that track. So this gives me a lot of flexibility. I've studied with a lot of masters, teachers, and energy healing, and done all kinds of subtle energy healing, which is very effective with mind-body medicine.
And I was referred to you for a hot topic on this podcast. We talk about a lot of crazy stuff. One of the craziest things we discuss that people go, the response is huge, is fear of overall fear. And I was referred to you because of my fears, basically. Something had triggered or whatever, and I kept getting panic attacks. I've been getting panic attacks, on and off all my life, not knowing what they were. And the last 3 months, they just got to a point where they wouldn't let me know. They wouldn't let me do what I really wanted to do. So I was referred to you by my other doctor, Frank, who's also been on the podcast, Dr. Berdici. And I got to tell you, I feel great. And
I'm so happy to hear it. And, fear is such a pervasive issue across the population, and it has so many effects in one's not only quality of life, but what a person can manifest in their life. So fear, working with the energy of fear, has been one of my specialties.
Now, one of the things you suggested to me, we put together a toolbox, And I the beauty about this island you've taught me to form, whenever I have a problem, or you know, it's not even that, doctor. I forgot to tell you that before I go on stage, sometimes I pee my pants. You know, I don't know if we discussed this. So I have fear at all different levels. But Monday, I was walking in for my last knee shot. Okay, they were going to shoot me in the knee. Plus, I broke my pinky. So I was a little scared that I thought it was the bone under the pinky. Doc, I'm dead serious. So you learn so much from yourself and from what you taught me. That's why I really wanted you to be on the podcast and call in. So I'm walking upstairs, Doc. I sit down. I give him my name, Jose Diaz. Boom, they call me. And I'm sitting there waiting for the doctor to shoot me in my knee. And doctor, do you know, for a split second, that fear started to get me, right? And I started to get the sweat from the top of my hand, my armpits, and my palms. And all of a sudden, I said to myself, you know what? Why am I scared of? I'm on my island. I'm on my island of serenity. And one of the new things that came from is one of the things that I don't experience in my island is any of those feelings anymore, which are like anything to trigger me, whether it's anger, anxiety, jealousy, anything in that vein, I don't want it on that island. And do you know that?
Beautiful.
I didn't faint during the x-rays.
I think it's great. You know, the island of serenity has been studied. A lot of people, for fear, want to do deep breathing, because what we're dealing with is the adrenaline response on the body, which is a physical fight-flight mechanism. So what the island of serenity does, it actually, when they study it, it pulls the adrenaline out of the body. It has this effect. So it actually is more effective than even deep breathing. It is just it really is an energy treatment, because if we can go to a place of peace and calm and beauty and gratitude in our lives, which basically the island of serenity represents, then our whole energy shifts. And fear does not live in that realm. So what I really try to do is help clients get into the big picture, what I call the big picture, which is a big picture that is really an umbrella of gratitude and beauty. And if you can live there versus, you know, fear and jealousy, like all these words that you've just said, that you and anger, all of that, they are completely two different levels. You cannot have fear and gratitude in the same space, or fear and faith in the process. They just don't go. So you can really lift yourself out and move to this other space. You're going to see your blood pressure drop. You'll feel healthier. You'll feel more grounded. And you know what? One of the greatest benefits, your mind gets calm. So your thoughts get more positive.
You know, it's the real reason I it was affecting my breathing, and I would always be scared. And it wasn't even when I was in the bottom playing jujitsu. It was even when I was on top and being the aggressor. I would just go into this panic, and I'd have to tap myself out, even as I was on top of the guy. And lately, I've just been, when I go in there, I eliminate all the fear. We discussed, you know, so what if I faint? You know, so what? And then it comes to you. You're not going to faint. And I go somewhere where some crazy guy in jiu-jitsu in Chicago told me, he goes, do not play jiu-jitsu unless that person loves you and you love that person. So now when I do that stuff, I put myself there. Like, I love this person, and nothing happens to me. I'm controlled. My breathing, I take my steps, my positioning. So,
By the way, I got to say something about that. By saying that you love this person, that's the energy we're talking about that gets you out of the fear realm. Love and fear do not live in the same place either. And that's a wonderful technique to move and really see people through the eyes of love.
That's amazing.
That's a really wonderful technique.
So you just, I can't, you know, if somebody would have told me 5 years ago that you could help me the way you have, I would argue with them and not believe it. And I am blown away, doctor. I am blown away in my behavior lately. I'm blown away. It's affected my anger levels. It's affected my You know, I usually just go from 0 to 99 in 2 seconds. What? Now I go from 0 to 40. And at least I look around, I say a few bad words, and I'm all right.
Well, you know, this is that. See, the thing is, this is all about energy management, and congratulations, you are becoming a master of fear and anxiety. That's what this is. It's all about mastery. It's mastery of your energy. It's mastery of your life force. I would love to get into doing some what I call journeys with you, which is some more of my shamanic work, energy work, because I think we can even transform more energies here. And really, in life, it's all about getting lost energies back, recovering those energies, integrating them, and bringing them to this state of love. I mean, that is really what it's about. So you're really practicing this on a beautiful way. So why would you have fear anymore if that's where your energy is? If your energy is in a vibration of love, it doesn't exist in the same paradigm. You see what I'm saying?
You know, this is where the comedy for me, I'm confused, Doctor, because for me, in my realm of comedy, and I need to be a little scared before I go up. After talking to you and doing the work at home and my notebook and whatnot, I realized that that's normal to have that fear as long as I control it, as long as I know where I'm going with it. Okay, I'm doing 65. There's no cops around here. But I'll go back to 55 once I hit the light. You follow me? Stuff like that.
Yep, absolutely. Mastery. The word is mastery with a capital M. Being a master and being able, when something does not support you, to say, so what? When it is normal for the mind to throw out a fear. Let's talk about the trash can. I know you like that concept. Why don't you tell me what's happened to you with your thoughts and the trash can we discussed?
Well, I tell you what's happened. The thoughts have slowed down. I've been using the trash can for like 2.5 weeks and 3 weeks, and maybe the process is it's on my right-hand side. And it's just a circular little garbage can. I don't even have a Ralph's bag in there. Like usually you have like a little plastic bag and you take it out. Hell no, I just throw that out because, and it's, you know, with me, my mind runs away with me. Again, not only does my temperament go from 0 to 60, my mind goes from, my friends are here visiting from San Jose, and you know us, we're Cuban, we're very superstitious. I'm the type of guy that once you get in the car, I worry about you. Just me, I worry about you. And once I worry about you, all of a sudden I'm seeing the truck tip over. I'm seeing a guy cut you off, a Mexican dude on a bicycle by mistake, he don't even know. He cuts you off and your truck flips over. That's where I see my mind. And then I got to pull over and I got to say a prayer for you. Why did I just put myself through that torture? That's torture for six minutes. Then I feel bad about myself for thinking that way. And then for another 6 minutes, I think about where did that come from? Was it something I was born with? Why do I? So, you know, now, before it even hits, it even butterflies, I take that throat and I throw it away. When my wife tells me in the afternoons that she's going to Target with the baby, 6 minutes into the flight with the baby, I'm like, I should be in the car with them. What happens? Why not? Boom. And I sit there for 20 minutes in hell until they come back. I can't call her. I can't call her 18 times. So I sit there in hell. I don't have those thoughts no more. So as soon as the thought comes in now, Arna, I take the thought and I don't even open it. Like it used to be that I would open it and look at it and fight. No, I started closed. Now it just comes. I check it and I delete. Boom, it goes into the trash can, and I even make a mental note after I got like 5 buckets in there, like after I got like 4 bad ones, I empty the trash. I see myself going to the window.
I love it.
You have to, and that's it.
Going to the dumpster. Yeah, it's important because the mind can activate, and when you use your mind, you can't afford to have a negative thought. And really the truth is, when you get into it, negative thinking is an extravagance to even allow yourself to have it. Why is it an extravagance? Because it affects your whole mind-body connection. Cortisol comes into the bloodstream. It lowers your immune system. There are so many effects of a negative thought. You can't be frivolous and just say, well, I'm going to go have a negative thought. What you want to do is create in your life through positive thinking the positive outcome. So let's use some examples of what you just said. When your wife gets in the car with your baby, you see her arrive safely and happily, as an example. When your friends travel in the car, you see the car in perfect condition and them, you know, arriving at their location. That's how you want to use your thinking, in a positive way.
No, you're right. That's what I've been trying to really work on lately, and it's
doing a great job.
Yes, no,
you're having results.
Well, you know what? Years, I didn't know. I knew what you were talking about from day one. In the last session I had with you, really hit home. I've been trying to get at some point of the day where I left there to get that shine back in my face. I've been trying to just sit and breathe and going to my little island and thinking about the good things that I have. And so I'm really working on this, Arna. I didn't want you to think that I'm a hit and run type of guy. I know that I needed to work on this. It was affecting me. And you know what? The blood pressure, as soon as I walk into those doctor's offices, they make me nervous. As soon as I walk in those doctor's offices, they make me nervous. Except the ones I'm comfortable with. Frank, my acupuncturist.
What's the fear when you walk into these doctor offices? What's the fear thought there?
Bad news. It's like the same fear when you put a suit on. You never put on a suit on for nothing good. It's either court, a funeral, or a wedding. There's nothing good out of a suit, you know? When you go to a doctor's office, even if you're going in for the simplest thing, as you're driving, as you're parking, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're Johnny Positive and you walked over an island full of coals. You're going to think, what if they draw blood and there's something wrong with me? Anybody who's normal, it's just the intense of it, how much you let it affect you.
So what would happen if you walk into the doctor's office and you hear and you create in your mind, wonderful outcome, congratulations, blood pressure's great, and just create that outcome? In other words, same principle, negative thinking in the trash. Because this is the thing, in manifestation, it's a wide spectrum. It can go from extremely negative to extremely positive. Every possibility exists out there. And with our minds and our intention, we can pull down the result. Do you understand what I'm saying? So why not choose the result that you want to create? So that would not even be anymore in your vocabulary. And what you could do is practice it. Make some doctor's appointments and practice going in there with positive outcome. That's it. And, you know, of course, you can use your island of serenity when they're taking your blood pressure and just, you know, go in there seeing them through the eyes of love. Same way you see your jiu-jitsu partners, okay?
The 405.
405, you know.
That's a good way. I never thought about that.
405 can be challenging, but same way. You know, it's all how you see it. Positive outcome all the time. And you're going to see, you talk about that light, that we all have an inner light that exists in us. And once you take the film off of negative thinking and where we're giving up energy, because it's already our natural state, it just goes full, you know, full bloom. So I caught the inner facial when I'm working with clients, as you saw. I said, okay, go look in the mirror now. What did you see after we worked together when you looked in the mirror?
My skin was shiny. A film of like gray had been taken off it. My eyes looked clear.
Yep.
I didn't see the halo or nothing, but everything else. I felt great when I left there. That was the most, you know, the last, the one thing, after the first time I saw you, it felt like a fist had been taken off my chest. Like now I didn't have that peace anymore. There had been a peace there for who knows how long. Who knows how long that peace was there. And I don't have that no more. I feel myself walking upstairs now, and I feel myself being a little lighter. I, you know, just so whatever we discussed or you did worked, and I thank you for that, and that's why I wanted you to
call. I look forward to being able to work with you again soon. I with the level of mastery, because you know it's really apparent you're a very disciplined person, and you have you have the ability to create, and through your discipline, I'm really looking forward to doing other work with you that I think can help you even move to the next level. So thank you for the opportunity to speak with your audience today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, no, now how can they contact you? You have a web page where you have resorts.
Well, anybody who would like to contact me, you can contact me at this phone number, 310-614-5352. And when they call into that number, there'll be further instructions on that number, 310-614-5352. And I love working with new clients and being of service. So once again, thank you.
Thank you, and have a great day. And I will give you a call this weekend, and we'll get together, Doc. Arna.
I would love it.
Much okay, love. Have a great day. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
You know, guys, I had to go to work on this shit. We talk about it on the podcast, and for me to do my fucking job with you cocksuckers, I got to look inside and see what makes me fucking go crazy. You know what I'm saying? Lee not eating ass, shit like that. You know, I love Lee, but because he don't sniff a chick's asshole, I get angry with him. Why would a normal human being, it would just say, fuck it, you know, you don't like ass. To me, you're missing something. So get it together, cocksucker. Do you eat a gooey yet?
No, I can't.
These guys came all the way from San Jose.
I smoke. You see how high
well,
I am?
Give him another pipe. Well, let's get some pipes going.
For some hash.
Let's get some James Brown, this motherfucker.
Jesus. Oh, I got a hit loaded for him.
Oh, shit. Blast that shit. Give him the fucking whatever. Oh, shit. Jesus. Little James Brown is a bit. Hey! Oh! Got to get back with Lee Syatt, the Flying Jew man.
I hate you, Joey.
Revenge! What?
I need Dr. Arna on the phone. I'm having negative thoughts.
She's not a doctor.
Huh?
She's not a doctor.
No, she's not a doctor. She's a hypnotherapist. But, bro, it helped me out. That's all that mattered, man. I'm not freaking out no more. I was freaking out, guys. Even that stare. That Friday, I had a nervous breakdown at the improv in San Jose. I just controlled myself. I made him feed me. Let me get one of those killers. What happened to the music?
I was thinking about it when she was on the phone.
No, one of the I have three here. No, beautiful. One of the vapors, whatever.
Oh,
what are they called? Dabs.
Yeah, dabs.
And these things will fuck your world up. We're dabbing here today. Ain't no reef in this motherfucker today. We're taking it to the next level. With that, look at Lee. What'd you drop?
A pen.
A pen. You fucking motherfucker.
I was thinking when she was on the phone, because I've had some stuff. I never went to see anyone, but a lot of stuff with that. Like, you talked about it the other day, and this is kind of embarrassing, but you asked me about it on Sunday, and I've been thinking about it since for the whole week. You talk about losing your boner or something sometimes, and I went through a period of about a year and a half, 2 years, where I'm healthy, I'm a young guy, but, like, one time it happened when I was drunk, and
I used to use my boner when I was on blow, not when I'm healthy. When I was doing
No, you asked me on Sunday if I ever did. I didn't say you did.
We're talking about a different situation. Yeah. I asked you.
But I went through like 2 years where I would get nervous, and like it got to the point where like I started thinking like not Viagra, but taking those like over the counter pills, and it would get worse and worse and worse, and even when I lost the weight, it like didn't get better. But like I started thinking a little positively, like I just started seeing someone, and the first time I was nervous. But after that first time, like, I started getting less nervous, and it hasn't been a problem since. Like, it's how much of mentally, like, that you would think, like if you were at jiu-jitsu, like, the first time it probably wasn't as bad. The second or third or fourth time, like, the more you thought about it, did get worse.
What's that?
That, like, the bad thoughts you were having.
Well, that you can't breathe. So right away, I'm going to fucking get up, pass out, faint. And then I'm going to have a heart attack right here on the mat in front of these nice fucking people who just pay to do jiu-jitsu.
Yeah.
Now they're going to see a horrible situation, so I would take myself there.
Yeah, but I'm saying, did you, like, the second or third time you went to jiu-jitsu, were the feelings worse than the first time? Like, was it worse the more you thought about it?
Yeah. The more I would go in there, it would get worse. It would get worse and worse and worse. Then I just stopped thinking about it.
Yeah.
I just stopped. I said, fuck it. I'm going to go in there and exercise. This is just exercise. This is no big fucking deal. You can't breathe, you get up. But don't. And then it started getting to the point where I would go so long, I would doubt myself. Holy fuck, I've been doing this for 6 minutes. I'm about to pass out. So that's to the point where I'm at now, where I'm doing so good with it that I think I'm going to pass out. But as long as I keep breathing and focusing and on top of what I'm doing, everything's everything. You know what I'm saying? At least I am.
I have gotten to the point where I have no idea what you're saying.
You know what the fuck I'm talking about. So let me ask you this. How did you come up with this recipe for these Los Hombres Malos here?
Los Gomis Malos.
It was my brother, Peter.
Peter, break it down for your Uncle Joey.
I just took the recipe I found online and modified it to my taste.
And you've been cooking marijuana and making it into fucking tremendous edibles for how long now?
Well, these gummies just for a few months, but I've been making edibles for years.
For years?
Yeah.
Now, you're Cuban.
Yes, I am.
And you grew up where?
West New York, New Jersey.
Since day one?
Since day one.
God, googly moogly.
I was born in Weehawken, in that little hospital by the Dairy Queen.
North Hudson, Hollywood. Yeah. Across the street. That's where my dad died.
Yeah.
He used to be a tremendous fucking Dairy Queen. That's what I remember. That's what I remember as a kid. Your dad died. We'll take you for ice cream. And but it was good, that Dairy Queen. Yeah. And up the corner from there, it was like Rapido Taxi.
Yeah.
On 48th Street. Yeah. You know, explain 48th Street for people who didn't know. 48th Street was just Cuban. When I was growing up in the fucking 70s, once you made that right on 48th Street, it took you and it went down a little hill. That's it. That was the cigar shops, yeah. A couple Cuban places, a furniture store that it was just Cuban.
What about the pipe store that's been there since like the 70s, West?
East West is still there. In fact, two people have called me from there recently and said, guess where we're at? We're at East West. We figured, I bought my first, do you know, in 1982, I bought a crack cocaine kit there.
They had the little scales and
everything.
The bullets.
The bindles, the bullets. I think the singer from there was in a band called The Bangs. If you went up, when I first started going to fucking that place, East West, it was one floor, guys. This is 19. First time I went to East West was probably 75 because my mother had the bar in Union City. So I'd walk up to on the corner. Guess what was up the corner there growing up? Geno's. Geno's is Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's put together. Bam! Nobody knows that one. Nobody remembers that one. It's either Kentucky Fried Chicken and McDonald's or Kentucky Fried Chicken and Burger King put together. They sell chicken and hamburgers. Right in the corner, then you moved in, there was a pizza place. Then you moved in, there was like a Cuban restaurant. And then it became all Cuban on that side. There's a supermarket where you make a right-hand turn. You guys know what I'm saying?
Bakeries.
A bakeries and the whole fucking deal there. Then when they closed that... When they closed that chicken place, it became a liquor store. And a kid in my neighbor, Sabatino, his father was one of the managers. He was the bag man of the place, so he had the keys. I swear to God. Sabatino was a junior in high school. We were seniors in high school. Sabatino would wait at home till his father fell asleep. He'd steal a fucking key to the liquor store with the alarm. We'd get a car, go up there, and rob the fucking liquor store. That's where we robbed the case of beer and the bottle of Jack Daniels before. You know, what's those nights where they give out the awards, most popular to succeed? All that shit.
Like homecoming or something?
Homecoming. It's like in... This is true. It was like in... Because in those towns, it was crazy homecoming. Because it's like a bunch of Puerto Ricans. Who are you kidding? You know, they have the homecoming at the high school. Then the after party is like at this dingy bar. The one time, it was by Rose... What's the fucking stadium in West New York?
Roosevelt Stadium.
There's a bar right there, right? Like a little disgusting bar. I used to get Quaaludes there. I used to get Quaaludes there from fucking... Oh my God, all those places. Those are Quaalude spots in the fucking 70s and 80s.
Oh no, that's called Miller Stadium.
Roosevelt Stadium, the one in Union City, yeah, that now, right. It's a stadium, it's a high school and the stadium's on the fucking roof. On the fucking roof. Dog, we used to run up in the... But I like, it's funny that this, the name of the company is Los Gomis Hermanos. In West New York, every business, it ends with the Hermanos. My stepdad's business was Los Hermanos Carniceria. The best Cuban sandwich place now in West New York is what?
Bamba's, maybe?
And no. Boom, Los Hermanos. They make the Cuban steak sandwiches that the Yankees go eat all the fucking time. With
Los Amigos.
Dos Amigos with the French fries and that motherfucker. Lee? What? What's there, like on 58th and Burger Line or something like that? Good googly moogly. And all they make is Cuban steak sandwiches. Two types of batido, mateba, iron beer, and that's it. Everything
papitas,
else.
No papitas.
Papitas, no papitas. That's it. You either in or you out, cocksucker. If you're on Weight Watchers, take it up the corner and shit like that. But no, there used to be a Geno's there in the corner. But East West, I bought the first free basin kit. And it came with a glass, a silk stocking, like so you could put the Coke through. This is crazy. But the other thing that East West specialized in was underground albums. In those days, let's say Led Zeppelin played in the city. You got a tape recorder, you taped it to your body. Think of how bad society has changed. You took that tape recorder, you strapped it to your body, you went there, because they didn't have in those days. You just went like, hey, man. But you sat somewhere, and you fucking taped the album. Then the next day, you took it to a record store, you put it on vinyl, you sold them for $2. You got nothing to lose. And you called it Bonzo's Birthday Party Live. And some of them sound like shit, but some of them sounded good. I had a couple of them myself. And no, that's like free entrepreneurial. That was like you did it from A to Z, bro. Like a Cuban dude did that. He went over there and watched Judas Priest, took it, put it on vinyl. It was a white album cover that he made at home, a poster he made himself. They sold fucking $5, $6. East West specialized in all those underground albums. Done from all those clubs, CBGBs.
How was the sound? Was it okay?
It was 50-50. It was 50-50. You remember what I'm talking about?
Yeah, bootlegs.
I never knew they had bootleg music.
In the 70s and 60s, that's what they did. And the Grateful Dead made a living off it. If you go to a real Deadhead's house, he'll tell you, oh, the Cleveland shows in 63. What night do you want? I got the first show, and you sit there going, what the fuck? These guys in Boulder had a closet full of, like, every show.
Did you find, like, if you lived in New York and there was, like, a guy, like, let's say you were really good at it. Would you have, like, a guy, like, this guy always goes to the concerts, he sits in the right place and he holds it up. So, like, did you go, no guys?
There was no microphone. Like, that was probably towards some crazy fuck probably one day took a microphone and took pictures for the album cover. Like, I saw those, that the guys were that good. But that was, like, free enterprise. I still remember I had Bonzo's birthday party. I had a UFO one from Michael Schenker that was fucking brilliant. He bought them for $5.
It was always live at CBGB.
Yeah, well, live in the Garden. Live in the Garden, yeah. Live at Nassau Coliseum, live in fucking the one in Asbury Park. You know, there was always something, which is really fucking interesting, though. Really. Now describe, did you grow up in Bunkalo Chenta? Did you hang out at Hudson County Park a lot?
Yeah, I was like 12 blocks from there.
Who was I telling? I was telling somebody that we used to rob the beer truck. There used to be an A&P across from Hudson County Park. And when we were kids, we'd go there about 9:30 and wait for the beer truck every day. Not every day. You couldn't do it every day because then they bring. You could only do like once every 3 months. Once he'd forget that he could get robbed in that area, bam! You reminded him. Close the gate, cocksucker. They would be, you know, they don't know. And you pull up. And then as you got older, you had a car at least, where at least you watched him. As soon as he hit that fucking door, you ran up to that car, opened it up, and you just took a beer case in and took off. That's as you got older. But in the early stages, you had to run with that fucking beer. Fuck you. Fuck live events and Trilecta and all that shit. Let me see three dudes. And you had to run it across the street on Bergamon and jump over the fence and run in the fucking park. Now it becomes a county ticket. It ain't a fucking city. Like, North Bergen now would just drive by and beep at you and wait. Now you're in Hudson County Park. It becomes Hudson County fucking park territory.
There's always cops in there, too.
Always. Always fucking cops in there. That was a great place to grow up, man.
The old gangsters playing bocce ball.
Bocce right ball there. Remember when they were going to shut them down, those gangsters went fucking... There used to be a grasshopper haircutting across from the bocce ball. I saw fucking... Vinny Gargiulo throw some motherfucker through that plate glass window one night, dog, on a Friday night. Another night, the janitor I mugged one night, I used to not mug this janitor. I used to take the pills from this janitor. He used to have Valiums, like give them away. And then one night I robbed him, and he had pills for an epileptic. And then after that, I didn't rob him for a long time. And then one night I went up there, and I was in a violent rage. And I was with Larry McNeil, some other dudes, and we saw him walking. We're like, where's the pills? We smacked him a few times.
You just stopped caring, like pretending like you weren't doing it. You're like, where are the pills?
I felt bad. We were robbing him for like 3 fucking months, you know. And then I robbed the epileptic pills, and he fucked us all up. And then one night we roughed him up a little. We gave him a few sidekicks. He said, towards the end, it was terrible.
It's fucking terrible. You beating someone up with sidekicks.
There used to be a chicken place there. When I was growing up, there was a chicken place there. Richie owned it. Remember, we went to the Chan's Dragon Inn,
yeah,
and we bumped that kid, and he said that his father owned it. It was a chicken place there. And one of our friends that went to St. Joe's West New York, but from North Bergen, worked there. So we'd hang out at that bar in the corner, Joe and Mary's. Now, that bar is still there. It's just a Spanish bar now. They didn't even change the furniture. They just put a picture of Fidel in that motherfucker, and it's open for public. And it's amigos. You know what I'm saying?
It's still there.
It's still fucking there. All those places, man. It's that's some wild shit, you know. And the power struggle there, like that whole area, like the biggest Cuban bad thing ever done was right there. The biggest Cuban bad thing that they ever did was right there. On that 48th Street. That's where they shot the Cuban cop, the undercover cop.
The 70s.
In front of Rapido Taxi. They fucking gunned him down right there. But that was a little fucking war zone. Now it's death. Union City was a great place, man. The other day I was watching the premiere of the movie Dice Clay is in, the Woody Allen movie.
Oh, yeah.
And they were interviewing the Cuban kid, the Spanish kid that was on, what's the show from down the Boardwalk Empire? He did you guys watch that? You watched?
I've seen that. I remember Spanish.
Last season, there was a kid on there. And I know. I've heard before. He's from Union City. He's in everything. He's done every fucking movie in Spanish. He even did the... He was in... Oh, fuck. I forget. But anyway, he said Union City. It was weird that I think of all those that growing up down there. I knew that area like the back of my fucking hand, bro. I knew that area from 29th Street. From 26th Street, probably. No. From 24th Street and New York Avenue all the way up, I probably knew. Pino's Pizzeria, the Fu Jiao Pai Kung Fu. I knew the fucking Carvel on 39th Street next to the bottom of the barrel, which was a big mafia hangout.
Do you mean Glenn Caspio?
No, keep going. Who's in the movie Woody Allen?
It's Cate Blanchett, Joy Carlin, Richard Conte, Glenn Caspio, Baldwin, Charlie Tahan, Annie McNamron, Daniel Jenks, Max Rutherford, Andrew Dice Clay.
Keep reading.
Ted, now it's Andrew Long. Fuck, there's way too many people in here. John Bland, Glenn Fischler, Brent Thayer, Christopher Rubin, Bobby Cannavale.
That kid.
Bobby Cannavale.
Oh, that's right.
Bobby Cannavale. Yeah. Read on his IMDb.
I know this guy.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, but you listen to him fucking talk. And you know where the fuck he's from.
Yeah, he was in...
As soon as he opens his fucking mouth. Time he opened his mouth, I knew it. First time that kid from that Pacino movie. What's that Pacino movie?
I just found this one.
Huh?
I just found this one.
Which one?
This movie. No, what movie? The Pacino movie.
And I heard him talk, and I'm like, that kid's got to be from my area. And now he's a Cuban kid that owns a restaurant on Boulevard, down by the water. He did a couple episodes of Law and Order. He did a good movie. Yeah, the one with Pacino and Michelle Pfeiffer. He played the Spanish kid in the kitchen. That kid grew up in North Bergen. He's a North Bergen kid. He has a restaurant now.
Azuka or something?
Yes, that's the restaurant. He owns the restaurant now, sure. But I can always tell by a certain wang in their accent exactly what. I can break it down if I really, really listen. I have a friend here that's from Queens. First time I met him, I asked him, Queens, and he goes, nobody knows that. I could just hear it, because we're from back there. We break it down. Lee Syatt is with the Connecticut Jews.
No. It's Frankie and Johnny. It's the movie.
Whatever the fuck it is. Tommy and Johnny, you know what I'm saying, right?
But, do you feel, is it a big, loyalty thing? Like, would you guys, band together against, another part of New York? Like, why? Like, it must matter to you if you can tell the difference.
No, you just... hey, listen, man, that area was... I grew up in that fucking area. Even when I was living on 205 West 88th Street, my mother had that bar. So I was over there all the time. And then it just spread out. You know, I had friends in West New York. You know, when I was a kid, my love for basketball meant that I went everywhere. I was into two things that I would travel for, karate and basketball. So to play basketball at Washington School or school number 4 in West New York...
That's where I went.
You had to get an address. So right away, I would go to my mother and I'd say, hey, you know anybody in West New York? And she'd say, Conchita lives there. And I go, okay, let me use your address. And I'd go to school number 4, and everybody would look at me like, you ain't from fucking West New York, motherfucker. Because people know. But they'll play the game with you. All right, let's just fuck this motherfucker up and let him fuck. Until all I wanted to do is get on the team. I would try out, get on the team, and get a shirt and then quit. Once you got the shirt that said West New York, you're out of there. You ain't showing up no more. It was fucking ridiculous, and they knew. I remember doing that the first time. This is how bad I was in basketball. I went up to, what was the school on 30th? To the, oh yeah, it's a tough one there. This is a tough, you're on Bergenline Avenue, and all of a sudden you got to either go that way, which puts you into New York City, or you got to make a right, which puts you into North Bergen and all that shit, but you're still in Union City. There's a school on the right-hand side there. They had a parochial league. So when I was a kid, you had your grammar school league, then you had the city recreation league.
Behind Columbia?
That was my school. That was McKinley in North Bergen. But no, on the other side. But it didn't matter. This is how many things you had done to you. Like if you were from North Bergen, you had your grammar school team, mm-hmm. then you had the 12, you had Biddy basketball, or 12 to 15, and you had PAL. So you had four fucking games a week. You were jamming in those days. You were fucking jamming. But if you really wanted to jam, you'd give a Union City address and play at the Union City League and a Washington school where they didn't really care. As long as you had a fucking address from Union City, so I could put my mother's address down at the bar. So I would play up there, get the t-shirt, fuck you, I wouldn't go back there. No, but then once you get to 12 to 15, once you get to 12 to 14, you had to pick a church. Because the church had to accept you. This is fucking, none of you play CYO ball?
No.
Our Lady of Libra, all that shit. So you had to go to the church first in those days with your birth certificate and your baptism fucking thing. And the priest would sit you down, blah, blah, okay, you want to play basketball? Why? I want to go to college. Okay, go try out. And then Steve Rubinaccio or Steve Ricciardi would have tryouts. So I ended up, I couldn't play for Our Lady of Fatima. That was my North Bergen church. I had to go to Union City to play because they were all out of, you had to either be in the district of Uptown or, oh, in the parish. The parish and shit. That's what the Catholics call it. They don't call it cities or districts. They call it the parish. So you could only have two out of parish basketball players. So I had to go to Union City. So it doesn't really fucking matter. We're just talking politics here. Who gives a fuck? You know what I'm saying? But I knew all those areas up there. And then my mother knew all those bars up there. Because she, you know all the owners. They look, I feel like Tita. You know, what's the one on 56th
Street?
Brindis. That's a go-getter. That's a bring it if you got it in there, dog. That's a heavy-duty cube. There used to be, so at Brindis on this corner or on this corner? If you're going up, is it on this corner or on this corner? At Brindis used to be on this corner or across from the Cuban restaurant. Right, all the way in the corner.
Yeah,
the next to it is the flower shop.
Yeah.
That, right. Because when I used to run there, the flower shop was across the street and that Blini was always there. Then there used to be one on the corner, which was a badass motherfucker.
And a bakery.
Nice little neighborhood. Tremendous. I seen a couple of people get... There was a kid, I'll never forget this, when I was about maybe nine, the summer of my eighth grade, no, fucking early, fourth into fifth summer, I spent it working with my stepdad in the butcher shop. It wasn't on Hudson Avenue. It was on the side. There was a little building there, and then right next to it, right there, 50 feet, not even, 20 feet up. You could still see a brindy there. It was a little butcher. So una carniceria. The name of it was Dos Hermanos Carniceria. One of the owners was Chicho. He did a bunch of time.
Chicho. Yeah,
Chicho did 20,000 years for shooting motherfuckers. He was in prison, but he was one of the owners. And my stepfather had the fucking the carniceria with him, which is a butcher shop. So every day I used to have to wake up and go to the city and get the fucking meat with him. And then the other obstacle, we did it 5 days a week. 3 days you got meat, and the other 2 days you got flowers. They also owned the flower shop, which was you couldn't do numbers in there. You could talk numbers and no thing, but you couldn't call in with numbers. It's where everybody met and exchanged money. So if the cops raided, there was no number sheets there. There was money. So that's where all the money came in after 3 o'clock from the other banks. New York, Harlem, the Bronx, all the money came in there. And they counted like, and they said, yeah. And I was a little fucking kid, though. That was amazing. Those days were just... And I knew those kids. Down the corner is Memorial High School. Mm-hmm. So I would do all that shit in the morning... And then in the afternoon, I would shoot down to the fucking corner. And I was great friends with a Cuban kid named George Fujita. He had like Chinese eyes. They used to call him a Chinito. He used to play basketball for Memorial. I knew a bunch of kids in that area. Now, and then later on, Memorial was the Quaalude school. That's where the deep Quaaludes were over there. Everybody had them. And I forget the names of the kids. They were bartenders in the city. And then by that time, Lucchese's had North Bergen locked up, and we were buying our Quaaludes from the Lucchese's and shit. That's a long talking time ago, Doug. That's... the fuck, Lee? What the fuck you looking at? Shit.
You look
fuck. I'm stoned to the gills.
This is like right in the heart of Soprano.
Yeah, this is it. A lot of people don't know about this shit, man. This is a very, you know, all those mayors, Memorial, West New York, Union City, Hoboken, North Bergen. None of those mayors ever leave without doing time.
Yeah, the governor of New Jersey hates your mayor. I saw a video you posted, and governors are usually like kind of quiet. Your mayor, fucking he freaked out.
He does it at every town meeting. The guy, Chris Meeting, Governor Christie, you got to watch him. Just go to YouTube, smoke a
fucking... and it's on his page, too.
Oh, my God. Smoke a huge joint, get 2 hours to kill, and just sit there and put him on and do something else while you're listening. And he'll talk, and here's how he'll go into it. Very nice to be here in Seaside Park, New Jersey. You know, he'll go talk about Seaside Park, how it's growing. Nothing to do with North Bergen. Then out of nowhere, he'll go, you know, your municipalities are doing great here. You're down to like $2 million every 2 years. That's very good. Not like those bozos up in North Bergen. That fucking mayor say, don't say fucking. When he starts going, that mayor Sacco, what's he doing up there? $300,000, you know, to do what? To have 6 jobs?
You want to play it? I got it.
You
got
to go. Go, go.
I mean, you see the crap that's going on up in North Bergen? I mean, bad enough that Nick Sacco's making 300 grand himself. Now he's paying, he's got the highest paid in-house counsel, who then refers business, hundreds of thousands of dollars of business, to the firm that he's a member of, while at the same time he's a full-time employee. And then I love the guy who's been working there since 1988, but can't tell anybody what he's been doing. Well, I kind of got frozen out 20 years ago, but I've been trying to create my own work, I think was his quote. And then when they talked to the business administrator and the other folks, they couldn't agree on what he was or wasn't doing, and then ultimately admitted that he wasn't doing anything. But the one thing we know he was doing was kicking back about $6,000 a year of his money to whatever political cause Boss Sacco wanted him to kick it back to. So I understand from reading the report the comptroller has referred this to the Division of Criminal Justice, a place where I believe it richly belongs. And now I'll let Acting Attorney General Hoffman take it from here, and I will stay back, because as much as Larkins and I would like to go back and do our old jobs sometimes, we don't get to do that. We have new jobs. But it's outrageous. It's completely outrageous, and it's indicative of the absolute taxpayer waste that exists in North Bergen. It is just outrageous, the unchecked power and abuse of the citizens that the Sacco administration engages in. Outrageous. It almost, you know, makes his salary understandable, because you need to make a lot of money to be that bad.
That's on his page, and it's at a freaking college graduation. It's at Mount Laurel College. It said,
"Doug, I'm telling you, I'm telling you." Speech. Those fucking mayors always, and I love them to death. I get it. There's too much money in that area. There's too much construction. The unions. And you know what? They say, no, but eventually they got to take something. They got to take something and look the other way. And then you get addicted. That guy's been the mayor for how long, Mayor Sacco?
Didn't you say, like, one of your teachers was, like, a mayor of another town, owned a bar, and was your teacher?
Yeah. Listen, when I was growing up there, the town of North Bergen had cops, and they owned the Meadowlands Inn. That was a strip club where it was, I seen disgusting things. I ain't mad at them. I ain't fucking mad at them. I ain't mad at them at all. And then... in the eighth grade, my eighth grade teacher was Wally Lindsley. He was the mayor of Weehawken. Why would the mayor of Weehawken be an eighth grade fucking teacher in the daytime in North Bergen?
Had a bar at night?
And had a... No. Then Carmine had the bar at night, which was a cop. But the bar was a... what do you call that? Whatever, a bazaar in the daytime. Oh, okay. Where they sell oranges and shit.
I thought one of your teachers or your principals owned a bar. Maybe not.
Oh, yeah. Ray Dalton, who was one of the, always, he was one of the, but this guy was the vice principal. But Ray Dalton could have been the mayor of North Bergen. But what Ray Dalton did was he really cared about the kids. Ray Dalton was a dude that was a thief, bro, but at least he cared about the fucking kids. And if you came from a fucked up place, he dug you even more. And he had a bar. That bar on 76th Street in North Bergen, the Brass Rail. It's been there since Jesus came to town. Right there, right on the corner there. If you come up right there, there's always a corner in North Bergen. There's always cops hanging out in there. That's always been a North Bergen city. But at one time, that was owned by Ray Dalton. And Ray Dalton was a cool motherfucker. Ray Dalton was the one. I went in there one night. I robbed a jewelry store. And I went in there like a week later one night. He goes, can I talk to you for a second? How you doing? He goes, listen, they're looking for you. They're looking for you. They went up to the school looking through the yearbooks. They're looking for you. He's the one that told me, just disappear for a couple of weeks. But that was my vice principal the year before. That's when vice principals were cool. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. He was a cool motherfucker. He caught us doing something. And they wanted to suspend us senior year. And he went to bat for us. He really was a guy. He was getting his dick sucked, too, by a student in those days. Her name was Gabby. She sucked my dick one time, too. I pulled her over on Teddy Bully. She had fucked up green teeth. I didn't give a fuck in those days. I remember she pulled in, and the ass was still left out of the car. I didn't give a fuck. Right there where Ringo used to live. God bless his soul. What a fucking nightmare those days were and shit.
Oh, shit. Have you guys ever used Hulu Plus?
Have we used what?
Hulu to watch TV online?
Sometimes.
Yeah, well, we're sponsored.
I love how you slipped that in.
I got him, man.
Just say, look at people, it's time to take a fucking break. Now for a word from our sponsors. Hit it, Lee.
Well, we got two. We got Hulu Plus. And for you guys who don't know, if you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey, you get 2 weeks free. And they have every show you want. They have Family Guy, like they have The Day After. They have all the like NBC shows, all the Fox shows. If you watch like the show with Jimmy Fallon, that's on The Day After. They have The Daily Show The Day After. And all you have to do is go to HuluPlus.com/Joey. You get 2 weeks free. After that, it's only $7.99. And it's fucking awesome. I know Joey loves it. His wife loves it.
I love it. My wife loves it. Keeps my wife out of my fucking head.
And I know a lot of you guys have been signing up, so thank you. We really do appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you. I mean, we got a call from Hulu last week saying that you guys are fucking savages. So again, we were going to stop the campaign since you guys like it. You guys love it. Fuck it. We love it. Keep going. JoeyDiaz.net. We got a Hulu thing there. What are they pressing the box?
They press Joey in for that, but also at JoeyDiaz.net now we have a Dollar Shave Club, and we didn't explain it well last time.
Break it down for these people. Lee.
So I went to CVS last night to do a little Jew research to get an 8-pack of any popular razor. It's $30.
How many razors come in the package?
Eight for that one for a regular popular brand.
Okay.
You also have to pay at least $10 to $15 for the handle. That's $40. And that's at least $30 a month. If you go to dollarshaveclub.com/church, they have three options that you could do. It's the best. You have a $1 a month plan, a $6 a month plan, and a $9 a month plan.
$9 a month and 30. That's $22 more to smoke dope, get reefer with your buddies, get a new yarmulke, get a fucking Pimetti Petty.
And it's either a 2-blade, a 4-blade, or a 6-blade thing, and it's... They send you 4 cartridges a month, 5 if you're on the 2-blade one. You change it once a week, and they send it right to your house.
How much is that a month?
The 2-blade plan is $1.
One fucking dollar. That's what we give you. Give them the $6 package.
The $6 package is the 4 stainless steel blades, and they said this one is the one that your girlfriends can use, too, if they want to shave.
There you go.
And then the $9 one, the executive... is 6 blades, and it has a little aloe bar on it that will help your skin.
There you go.
And you can get them. They now have wipes called One Wipe Charlies. When you go to the bathroom, instead of just using toilet paper, you can use the One Wipe Charlies.
There you go.
That's $4 for 40.
There you go.
And they have shave butter. They have fucking everything, and it comes right to your door. So listen, I love it.
Cut this shit. Go to Joey Diaz. No. What is it?
It's JoeyDiaz.net.
JoeyDiaz.net. And there's on there, there's a Dollar Shave Club banner. Press Joey in the box. Church. Press church. Press church in the box. Then, right from there, go to Hulu. I've said it. Listen, don't bust my balls, people. Please, don't aggravate me at all. You know I love you to death. We work hard on this podcast. We care less about that. What we're telling you is it's a once-in-a-lifetime type deal. You don't get these too much. 2 fucking free weeks, $7.99. Bang. Then Dollar Shave Club. Are you fucking kidding me? I don't even know what I spend a month. You know why? Because in every city I leave a fucking blade.
Really?
I don't even know. My wife buys these other ones, and I keep cutting myself. But I told her, if I cut myself and I faint, I'm going to get that fucking blade and cut you like a fucking Puerto Rican. I swear to God. So now I just signed up for Dollar, and I'm going to do this. I'm going with you, motherfuckers. So if I do it, try it. For the $6, you get the female package, too. She comes over. She shaves a monkey. She's got the little aloe, the whatever. You don't get stabbed in the fucking eyeball with a bad hair. There you go. Who's better than us? Dollar Shave Club. What's the code word?
The Dollar Shave Club is dollarshaveclub.com/church.
There you go.
And then for the last one, also code word church, it's on it.
That's right. Fucking Lee, thank God you're here. You know what? I just had a Hempport chocolate bar. Tremendous. Tremendous. Held me over. The guys brought some fucking Cuban stuff from Porto's. We had a couple little bocadito. What do you call these fucking things? Batalito. Batalito, got it. They're tremendous. No vegan shit in this fucking house. It's straight up. I had a couple hemp force bars, some water, and I'm ready to go. Listen, when in doubt, on it. Fucking is on it. I'm telling you right now. On it is on it. I'm telling you right now. My knee feels good. My toe feels a little better from the fucking strong bone. I ain't gonna lie to you, it still hurts, but don't hurt as bad as it did on fucking Friday. Give it a shot. Go to onit.com, press in fucking church, get 10% off, get put on the list. If not, do it. Listen, I tell you what. Let's say you want to walk. Let's say you've been walking every day to the fucking mailbox like Dolce says and just hit the fucking thing. Today, I want to go to a different fucking zip code. Okay? I want to go to a different fucking mailbox, pop two of those fucking shroom texts and get back to me. Tell me you don't want to walk to that one, to the one next to that. If fuck, money back guarantee from on it if the fucking thing don't want to make you walk 10 fucking miles. All right? What else, Lee? Hit me with something good here. What do we got? Lee, did you eat a gummy bear yet?
You have me three hits of that.
Eat a little piece.
I don't know where it went.
Eat a little piece. You gotta do nothing.
I gotta go to work in 10 minutes.
What fucking work? You're gonna quit. Call the guy up. Tell him to suck your dick.
Tell me why this tastes so good. Because I was telling you when you got here. And for people asking, like, some people think, oh, you're sponsored by all these people. These are just our friends I met at one of Joey's shows. Why does this taste so...
These are not like, friends. These are fucking family.
We just like them. They're awesome people. And they're in town.
When they brought these... Listen. If they weren't my friends and they would have given me one of these gummies and they were passing through town, I would have had them on. Because I think these motherfuckers will fuck your world up.
Yeah.
Listen, in my world, people, I don't fuck around. I'm not going to give you something and you're like, well, okay. Well, no, I give you something because I'm telling you, I put my stamp on these motherfuckers. When something kicks me at my fucking ass, this is the mule. This is the real deal. No need to fuck around. I give you the best fucking products. And these gummies are a savage. Trust me.
So why do they taste so good? I saw their eyes.
Why they taste so good? Why is Lee, let me see you eat it. Let's get a drum roll.
A lot of that taste that you get is from the plant matter. We don't use anything with plant matter. We use hash oil. We use 0.25 gram per gummy. And
So it's because people are putting like actual marijuana in it?
Yeah.
Like, and that's the weed taste you're getting?
Yeah, like when somebody makes butter, they put like actual, like they ground the bud in the butter and they cook it up and then they like sieve out all the plant matter. We don't do that. We eliminate all that. We make a hash oil and we put it into whatever the recipe calls for, whether it may be glycerin or oil or
coconut oil,
peanut oil, like whatever we decide we're going to use for that recipe.
It's like those little sour gummies. I used to love them, the little chewy ones. It's like that, except you get fucked up.
Yeah. We put a lot of medicine in ours. We like it to be the strength for us.
And you guys are professionals. See, I don't... That's what some people don't understand. Sometimes I go to a weed store. Or in the old days, I go to Hollywood and a girl smiles at me. Like, there was one store that had a black girl from Yonkers that was fucking banging. And every time I go in, her eyes would be beet red. So I'd ask her what she'd smoke. And she'd tell me, and I'd take it home and I'd smoke and nothing would happen. I'd smoke the whole fucking eighth for $70. Nothing would fucking happen. And I'm like, oh, she's a fucking amateur. You know, and it's not her fault. What I consider a bomb and what somebody else consider a bomb is two different fucking things. People come up to you and go, Doug, I smoked this. Don't drive. You get those people? Man, be careful on the way home.
Yeah.
And you smoke the whole thing. You're like, well, what the fuck is wrong with that moron? What the fuck is wrong with that fucking weakling? And then you meet some motherfuckers that smoke shit with you. And they're like, you know. And there's some people who are hobbyists. And there's some people who smoke it for a social. You smoke it if there was nobody on this planet. You'd smoke weed and be happy as fuck.
You'd have to smoke weed by yourself.
Think about it. If you were all alone in this world and you had weed and a certain, like, chicken cutlets with cranberry sauce and cream and cream corn and some salt and pepper, maybe some mashed potatoes, how happy would you be? I would. As long as I got reefer, there's a person in my head. There's a fucking party in my fucking head. There's a party in my head when I don't have reefer. Can you imagine with some reefer to slow it down? So it's like when I wake up in the morning, it's like people yelling and screaming and shit. It's get up, cocksucker. It's like a Marine boot camp. It's like go, go, go. There's a fire and shit. And then once I hit this motherfucker, like by 6:45, it's okay. The Marines are just marching. They got their guns out. But they're just walking around. Like, it's cool.
The lights came out in the club.
Yeah, it's all right. Fuck it.
Can someone please animate that? That's hysterical. Get you up this image of you waking up like, get up, cocksucker, and then like...
That's what
like,
my world is. That's
like, what's like your head fills up with smoke and all of a sudden they're just like
that's
chilling.
That's what's in my heart.
they're full of smoke.
Yeah, they're playing the trumpet or whatever. Just you calm down. Oh, my God.
You think like... I'm here to fuck around with you people. I mean, this is what I go on my... And I knew early on. Like, you know early on. Like, I did cocaine at first. And it was okay, but I knew this was... You couldn't do this in the daytime. You can't do it in the daytime. You know, and acid's fun, but you can't do that in the fucking daytime. You know, so you're talking to somebody, their face is melting. That's not going to fucking work in a real world. You know, and in those pills, I used to eat Valiums. When I first got into comedy in 91, oh my God, I had this college girlfriend... We'd hook up like about 11:30. I used to sell neon. So I would go in and just put a flyer out. Cuban kid. So I'd put a flyer out and either they call the shop. Then they call me and go, dog, you got 6 calls. You got sales calls tomorrow in that neighborhood. But I'd go home, eat a Valium with this girl, take a nap, eat her ass. I love all that afternoon delight. Wake up, eat like a frozen piece of chicken or something, eat her ass again, Lee. That's a fucking party. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. In the afternoon, you got like a pubic hair stuck in your tooth. You know what I'm saying? Like, fuck it. This is the real deal here. Lee, tell him. This motherfucker don't know.
These guys don't need that. So but nice I love gentlemen.
But there's nothing like.
I don't know about that.
I don't even know when the first time I started smoking. It was in high school when I started smoking in the daytime. I just liked how I felt, how it made my eyes feel. I knew by looking at people's eyes that they were more calm. I knew how these people would act without the weed. And I'd see them on alcohol and they'd be complete morons.
Yeah.
But on weed, they'd be chill. And I said, fuck it, that's what I need to make the voices go away. And I would hit that fucking pipe in the morning on the walk up to high school. And then you walk into the school and it's warm. Where we're from, it's cold 6 months out of the fucking year. So you gotta smoke outside. It's windy, the wind's coming off the Hudson. Once you walk into high school, it's chill. That's when the weed really hits you. But bam, they're back there trying to talk about fucking history. You're sitting back there thinking about fucking, you know, Def Leppard live.
You gotta fight with the wind chill.
Yeah, you gotta fight with the heat. Oh my God. It's a fucking, you know what, man? There's not a day that doesn't pass that I don't think about growing up in Jersey. Like, I'm proud to grow up from fucking Jersey. Like, I swear to God, I loved everything about it. I loved everything about the area where I grew. The thing I hated the most, well, let me tell you what I hate the most about the area where I grew up and what ruined me for life. To this day, it spoiled me was the accessibility. That always ruined me for life because I always thought every place was going to be like that. I was a very lucky person growing up. It's very nice to live in New York City, and it's a very prestigious thing, but I had it one better. I had New York City, all the ops of New York City, and I lived in North Bergen, New Jersey, which gave me access to Bergen Line and Boulevard East, and it gave me access to Fairview, to Rudy's, to get Calamon, and it gave me access to Fort Lee. You know, I would go to Fort Lee Diner and get bagels right there by George Washington Bridge. You'd drive by and the red light would be going off. And you make it right and you're in the city. I had access to either to come out of New York City on 178th Street, right there in the mouth of Harlem, or I could come out on 42nd Street in 3 fucking minutes. Let's face it. When I was a kid, I could leave Secaucus at 10 to 8 and be in New York City at 5 after 8. What? At Madison Square. What? What? With a bag of fucking weed. Walking down, I still remember walking with a ghetto blast to go see AC/DC and all that stupidity. So I have no regrets of growing up there. It was...
I'm jealous.
And you grew up in West New York. Your view, tell them what your view was.
Oh, there's a skyline.
Talking to
them. My first joint was right on the New York skyline.
Right there.
Like a block from my house, literally.
And you guys had all those pools to sneak into the galaxy.
Oh, yeah. Well,
I don't go work there.
Not the Galaxy, the other one. The Versailles. We used to sneak into
Versailles. I got a scar under my arm from one of those pools. It wasn't the Galaxy. It was the one lower. So it had to be under 68th Street. So it's about 50.
The Summit or something?
There's a bunch of buildings that look the same.
Yeah.
Down there. The fucking Galaxy was a badass place. I used to sneak with a girl in there that she had broken up with this guy that was a killer. So the only way I could fuck her was if I hid. So I would take her to the bar under the Galaxy. They make it like Bahama Mamas and shit. And I'd sneak around there and have a little breakfast place. I seen Ken Griffey Sr. in there one time because he used to live.
Ricky Henderson lived there too.
Ricky Henderson, bunch of people. Dave Winfield lived in that motherfucker too.
Edie Chacon.
Edie Chacon lived in that motherfucker too at the Galaxy. I was a stock clerk at the Galaxy though, and I was all fucked up. I was all coked up. And every day I'd go in at 7:30. I had to work for a half hour. And people would just bring me work orders and say, we need 2 pieces of wood. We need a window. And that was my thing. I had to order it, please. Make sure it got in. Stock it. That was my job. One of the guys there, I still remember his face, had a horrible drug problem. Like, I didn't know it then because I was in it. But thinking back sometimes, I'm like, the guy never slept. He had the black things under his arms. He didn't have a wife. He had no kids, so he just went home and kept snorting it. He would come in those days with the bottom of the grinder, and it would be filled to the brim, bro. And he would come up to the window, get an order, and then go, open up the door. And I'd open up the door, let him in, and he'd give me a bunch of fucking blasts. And then I'd give him $20, and he'd fill it up with fucking more coke, and he'd leave. Then he'd come back, like, for a 10 o'clock coffee break, and we'd go in the hallway, and we'd smoke, and we'd do, like, 20 more fucking blasts. And I would be, by 12 o'clock, my head would be fucking spinning there. And I remember sleeping. I would sleep it off till like 4, and then I had to go into the city and bartend from 5 to 1. And I'd have the package he sold me for 20, and oh my God. And I'd see him the next day, and he'd still be fucking, that dude would never sleep, bro. I ended up fronting an 8-ball, and I never saw him again.
How many of your friendships ended like that?
What's that?
I ended up fronting an 8-ball.
You know, and you guys know, we were from in that area, in that world. In that world, that, listen, with weed, it's something different. Because with weed, it's like this. People will give you 10 pounds of weed, and you're like, fuck yeah, the weed's good. Why will I not? But in those days, the blow was, it was moving fast. How many times did you mean to give somebody money? I don't know, there was one time a guy gave me like an ounce of coke or something. And I kept calling him. The coke was tremendous. I kept calling him. And about a week later, his wife called me. She's like, no, he went to jail. You know, you got the guy's money, and you spend it a month later. He comes up, where's my money? It was a month ago, bitch. You gotta catch me in a month now. Or you gotta give me another ounce of coke to get me back. Yeah. You know, that's that world. Somebody's not gonna come up to you from 1987 and go, hey, bro, you owe me for an 8-ball you fronted. They know in their mind that you were in that game.
Yeah, of course.
You were in
I know now. I'm just saying it's funny.
You were in that dirty game. It was, you know, cocaine was a dirty. I remember still, like, you guys are young. I still remember that Trent Lowe. What was this, 1980? Marielitos?
Yeah.
When they took over. That heightened. Like, that was just, that area went from fucking a decent place to live to a battle zone. It was a battle zone for 2 or 3 years. It was a fucking battle zone from 80 to fucking 83 or something. Then they started cleaning it up a little bit in 83 and 84, and they put the pieces back, and they all decided who the coke belonged to, and that was it. But when those Marielitos first came over, they invaded everywhere. Everywhere they went to, they left bodies. They didn't leave trash or fucking droppings. They left bodies. That's what those fucking droppings, so.
That was all a spillover from Miami.
Yeah, all the ones, you know, the guys that had already killed in Miami and they were on the lookout, they had cousins in West New York. You know, like I said, yesterday I went to lunch with Rudy Sarzo, who was on the podcast, Cuban kid from Miami. Came over way before the revolution. But after the revolution, they had to move different Cubans. They moved into West New York. Like I was saying, Rudy Sarzo graduated from Memorial High School in West New York. Fucking guy played on over 200 albums of famous metalheads, and nobody has ever mentioned him. Graduating from Memorial. Nobody even knew till he said on the fucking podcast. I had never even known or guessed it. So you never know who the fuck is from Memorial motherfucking high school. What up, Lee? Tell me something.
No idea.
How can they find these goomies?
Okay, so if you like strong edibles and you're in the Bay Area.
And you want to fucking see the devil. No misunderstanding.
That goes without saying.
The devil ain't sending no messages.
just look us up on Facebook. Los Gummies Hermanos. LOSGUMMIES. HERMOS. MANOS.
That's what it'll do to you. You can't spell your own company's name when you're on the gummies.
And these dabs aren't hurting. Who's up for another dab?
I'm ready. You know, you
set it up.
And Lee's got to do two more.
Fuck.
Because I got to catch up to Lee. Lee's
got
to do
They got two it wrapped more. Up like a. Like,
you got to see this fucking thing, people. We're here, we're professionals. It's all over. There's no amateurs allowed here. There ain't nobody doing documentaries about these are fucking savages here. Lee!
I have three. I can't
Lee,
do
you have to do one more. Balance out. Yeah, this is a small piece. This is three.
You go.
No, one more for Lee. Then I'll go. Let's go. Let's end the show. One more for Lee. Let's do it. Then we'll play some fucking music, some AC/DC. It's been a great week, people. I love you motherfuckers. Remember what Lee told you. Go to HuluPlus.com. Go to Dollar Shave Club. Dollar Shave Club is Church or Joey?
Church.
And Hulu Plus is Joey.
Correct.
And on it is...
Church.
Church. All right, people. You know we're here taking care of you motherfuckers. Don't be mad at us because we're trying to put the fucking pieces together. It's a Wednesday. You're going to listen to this. You're going to have a great... Look at Lee. His fucking head's turning red like a motherfucking shit over there. But I'm happy you people tuned in today, and I love you motherfuckers. I got no shout-outs today. I'll tell you what I do have. August 14th, we're at the Ice House at 8:30 for a live podcast. August 28th, we're at the Ice House for a live podcast. Another Wednesday. What are they, $10 or something? What are you going to do, stay home and fucking whack? Well, what are you going to do? Come on down, have a good time. August 22nd to the 24th, I'm at the D.C. motherfucking Improv. Doing it, getting my paperwork back and all. You gonna fill one for your Uncle Joey?
I got you.
Fuck it. That's how we do it here. Lee, how you feel?
Nah, good.
He needs one more.
No, fuck you.
Look at him, man. Fuck you. Look at me. Y tú qué, mi socio? What'd you think of these things, Lee? Tremendous.
I love the gummy bears.
Fucking, the fucking.
Oh, the patelito. Fucking, the patelito. Fucking, I'm gonna have another one before I leave. Fucking, like, they're like knishes, essentially, for all the Jews out there.
That's what the Bay Area lacks. Is good Cuban food. When you go up there, there's no
really. Yeah. Some of them are meat, some of them are potato, but yeah.
Yeah, I had the potato ones.
Fuck, it's good.
Fucking finished you, listen.
Oh yeah.
Good up.
So, are we done? Anything else, Joey? Anything you want to say? Or are we done?
No, we're gonna smoke some more.
Want to smoke some more?
Yeah. Who gives a fuck?
So we're gonna go out, but now that the show is over, don't forget to sign up for your free trial of Hulu Plus. Hulu Plus lets you binge on thousands of hit shows anytime, anywhere on your TV, PC, smartphone, or tablet. Support this podcast and get an extended free trial of Hulu Plus when you go to HuluPlus.com/Joey or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Hulu Plus banner. And also, don't forget to sign up for our new friends at DollarShaveClub.com. You'll get high-quality razors sent to your door every month for a fraction of what you pay at retail. We love these guys, and you will too. Go to DollarShaveClub.com/church or go to JoeyDiaz.net and click on the Dollar Shave Club banner.
What's the story? Get it together, dog. All right? Hold on. I didn't do the fucking baboots here. Let's do this shit. This is how we ended. What is this called again?
A dab.
And what's the flavor of the week? This. Stop with the music, cocksucker. Start it from the jump. Hold on. Let's hit this thing.
This is some... Tahoe OG sap.
And how much THC is in this motherfucker?
I don't know. I haven't gotten this tested, but it's pretty high.
Oh, you get fucking whacked.
Pretty stony.
Right, me and Lee, we're going to do two more.
Fuck you.
Let's take pictures of Lee.
I'm kicking you out of my house. No more Cubans allowed in my house.
I want to see
you guys are cool.
I want to see his eyeball blow out of his fucking the left side just so he can have an eye patch. So when he takes the eye to the fart to the face, I have the one eye patch. I love it. Let's do this shit. You understand me? I ain't fucking around no more. Oh. I love you, cocksucker. Stay black. Thank you for listening to the church, for loving us and supporting us. You know we love you. Support Los Gumis Hermanos. Support my man, the Flying Jew. As always, Hulu. Dollar Shave Club. On it. We love you, motherfuckers. Support them or don't even deal with us. See you next week. See you Wednesday at the Ice House. I love you guys. Stay black. Na-na-na-na-na-na. Oh, shit. It's light that motherfucker's bitch's pussy hair on fire. And lick your fucking muffler. It's Wednesday. It's Thursday morning or something. Won't tell you a story.
Gonna tell you a story. That woman I knew. When it comes to loving. Oh, she steals the show. Exactly pretty. She ain't exactly small. 14th and 956. You can say she got it all.